Hi, Patrick Cox here, and this is the voice of the US government in Iran.
Salam bar shoma.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Today on the pod, Alan Eyre. He's the US government spokesman who speaks to Iranian journalists. But to call him a spokesman, that's underplaying his role and his personality. He's a lot more than that. And he's also a big hit in Iran with stuff like this, a recitation from a 13th century poem.
Shukri ne'mat ne'matet afzun koned, kofri ne'mat az kafet birun koned.
That translates roughly as being grateful for what you have adds to your fortune. Doing the opposite lessens it. It was part of a New Year's message to the people of Iran from the US government with the theme of giving thanks. Here now is Alan Eyre speaking with The Big Show's Marco Werman.
You are practically a celebrity among Iranians, and yet we don't know much about you. Why is that?
I mean, it's a pretty niche market, being a relatively famous Western government Persian language spokesperson. So it's not as if I'm going to be the cover of major magazines. And on a more serious note, the job was just created relatively recently. It was one of the many initiatives that President Obama and the Secretary of State Department came up with to reach out to Iranians. So maybe I haven't been doing it that long.
It was 2011, the job was created. What was the idea, strictly to communicate with Iran, or were there plans to have spokespersons for different languages?
Well, no, this was mostly in the context of overall State Department and White House efforts to reach out to Iranians. As you know, when President Obama was elected, he started these yearly Nowruz or Persian New Year's messages to Iranians. He created, or the State Department created, something called a Virtual Embassy Tehran, which is it's a website. It's like a virtual embassy that has a lot of information where Iranians can go and ask questions, read about our policies, read with lighter stuff about social issues, cultural issues. So this was just one aspect of a much larger effort by the Obama administration to not just to push out our talking points to Iranians, but also to sort of just establish a two-way communication. I mean, a large part of what I do is not just, say what's important to the U.S. government in Persian on Iranian media. It's also to listen to feedback and hear what Iranians are saying about what we say and about, other issues.
You're not on magazine covers, but you are on TV a lot in Iran. So I'm wondering, is what you do kind of considered public diplomacy by the State Department on top of the practical need of just having a translator?
Oh, yeah, it's not translating it. I mean, obviously I have to speak Persian relatively well, but it's not just translating. It's because what's important to Iranian audiences is different than what's important to other audiences. So if I were to just translate our talking points into Persian and say them, that would be sort of suboptimal. That would be not really as effective as I could be. So what I try to do without staying within the lines of what we're supposed to say and what we're allowed to say, highlight those aspects of our positions and policies that are most relevant to Iranians.
Right. And you do that apparently very skillfully. I mean, you wheel out cultural references to ancient Persian poetry. I gather that you even have notebooks that are filled with old Persian poems and proverbs.
Well, I mean, this is, again, it's funny because you meet Iranians and you talk Persian to them and they look at you like you're some sort of genius. But so many Iranians with whom I come into contact speak fluent English. So
right.
It's like, well, I can learn Persian, which actually is a really easy language to learn.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it hard to learn?
No, not at all. I mean, believe me, I've failed on so many languages. This was the only one that I have any sort of ability to speak. So it by definition, has to be relatively easy. But what makes it hard is it's written in not in Western letters. It's an Indo-European language like English, but it's written with Arabic letters, which makes sort of the initial entry cost a little higher. But once you get that down and are able to read relatively easily, then it's so much easier. And it's such a beautiful language.
So teach me like one phrase in Farsi that I should really know if someday I go to Tehran.
So, well, I mean, the obvious one, there's two ways of saying hello. You can say salam,
salam.
or durud. You can say hale shoma chetore, how are you doing?
Hale shoma chetore.
Chetore. You don't want to say chetore because chetore is camel. Yeah,
okay.
You got it right.
Go.
Hala, or just hale shoma. It's like, how are you? And this is the fun part one of the many fun parts of Persian, is there's different ways of saying the same thing to express a different relationship to the speaker. Like you could say hale shoma, which literally is your health, but then you could say ahvale shoma, which is like your health, plural. So there's the Persians are great at this thing called ta'aruf, which is this sort of ritualized self-abasement,
right?
Where you you know, you sort of make yourself lower in relation to the speaker. And it's sort of one of the cultural hallmarks of Persian. And you can take it to excess, but it's a lot of fun. You know, like, I'm the dirt beneath your feet, or, you know, you are the crown on my head, or I would die for you. And it's again, it can be taken to excess, but it just gives you sort of more tools to play with.
So you taught yourself Farsi, correct?
Well, I mean, no one teaches themselves. I mean, I've been doing it a long time, and I put myself in situations where, you know, I hung out with Iranians and listened to them, and every time they would say something interesting, I would, you know, or a good phrase, I would write it down. I mean, the original thing that attracted me to Persian was the poetry, people like Hafez and Saadi and Khayyam. But then when I started hanging out with ordinary Iranians, they would just say these phrases, these figures of speech that cracked me up. So,
like what?
The one I remember best is I was messing with someone, and he said, "Stop putting watermelons under my armpits." Yeah, Hindun Azir Bagalam Nazar. And
that sounds like a hard time. Watermelons under my armpits.
Yeah, it's just, I was like, "What? What does that mean?" And it's just, you know, and he explained it to me. You know, don't try to make me bigger and sort of, you know, puff me up.
Right.
You know, because there's some sort of, you know, I sense you're flattering me for a reason. And sort of the synonym of don't put watermelons under my armpit is don't put a stick in my pocket. Shach tu jibem nazar. They have all these ways of saying this, like stop messing with me.
Yeah, a stick in your pocket would, especially if it's a long stick.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that would be a good thing. I mean, half the time I say these expressions, but as to how they derived, I have no idea. You just sort of have to hang on and hope you're using it correctly.
So you've been the face, one of the main faces of the United States at the nuclear negotiations in Lausanne, and coming up next week they'll be in Vienna. When you talk to the Iranian media and you wheel out like a quote from ancient Persian poetry, how do they react?
It has to be appropriate. I mean, it's not like this is my secret weapon, you know, where I reach for my utility belt and take out a phrase from Saadi to win the day. It has to be in context. I mean, I think were I to do it too much, it would lose its effectiveness, you know, but I like using not just quotations from poems, but also these expressions and figures of speech, just to show that I'm sort of familiar, not just with the language, but with the culture. Now, you've got to be careful, because obviously certain sayings I, as a Persian language spokesperson, don't want to say on media. You know, some sayings are sort of more appropriate for starting bar fights. Some are more appropriate for speaking as a representative of the U.S. government, and you have to know how to differentiate between the two. So that's also part of the challenge.
You probably are also seen by more Iranians than perhaps John Kerry. I mean, you're the one who gives the Iranian media their quotes. And from what I hear, they like you a lot. How have you developed that relationship?
Well, I mean, all things being equal, I like Iranians. So it was actually funny. When my wife and I would go to parties, I think I was in Syria or in Dubai, I would meet someone and I would ask them, "Are you Iranian?" And my wife was like, "You know, you really shouldn't start off a conversation that way, because, you know, they didn't know why I was asking. I was asking as a prelude, so if in fact they were Persian, Iranian, I could talk to them in Persian and, you know, and have a good time." But my wife pointed out that actually some people, if not knowing that, and at that point I wasn't a spokesperson, so no one knew who I was, might find that sort of introduction or that sort of initial question a little offsetting.
Mm.
So, yeah, I had to be careful.
You spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, in the part of the city known as Terangelus.
Terangelus.
You did not rise up through the classic ranks of the State Department, and you're kind of not a linguistic officer. Are you kind of the new face of the State Department, do you think?
No. I mean, I think I've been very fortunate to sort of have the right skill set and be at the right place at the right time to be able to make some sort of contribution. I mean, I'm not the only Iran expert in the State Department. Before I got there, there was a whole generation of what we called Iranosaurs. People that actually served in Iran. Like, for example, a close friend of mine, Ambassador John Limbert. This is a gentleman who studied under Richard Fry at Harvard for his graduate studies, who was like the god of Iranian academia, who, you know, worked in the Peace Corps in Iran, who was one of the hostages, unfortunately. But, I mean, this guy forgot more about Iran than I'll ever know. But when that generation retired, and this is starting around 2006, the State Department, then Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, said we need to sort of create a new generation of people sharp on Iran. And so we started teaching more and more foreign service officers Persian. and started paying sort of more attention to cultivating people with a knowledge of Iran. And that's, you know, at that point, I was already in the State Department, and I came to the State Department speaking not bad Persian, but it got a lot better in my first couple of assignments, where I was in countries where I could find Iranians and chat with them. So it worked out. But on the whole, I'm not certainly by no means unique in the State Department. There are a lot of good, young, you know, sharp, talented Foreign Service officers now who speak good Persian and know a lot about Iran. So I'm actually quite fortunate, because if I'd come along a couple years later, I probably wouldn't even have been noticed.
If you weren't a Farsi expert, what do you think you'd be doing?
Geez, I have no appreciable job skills whatsoever. Bagging at Piggly Wiggly's or something, I don't know. Would you like paper or plastic?
I've got my Piggly Wiggly t-shirt on today. Funny you should say that.
Do you really?
Yeah,
do they have Piggly Wiggly's in Boston?
No, I got this down in Texas.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I've had a great run because I've been able to find jobs that allow me to do what I love to do, which is learn about Iran and sort of learn Persian and speak Persian and try to establish bonds between the two countries. What a great time it is to do this. I mean, I was part of the nuclear negotiating team since 2008 or 9 when it started. And for years and years, more or less, we were just spinning our wheels. But when President Rouhani was elected and negotiations really got a jump start with his election and with the historic phone call between Obama and Rouhani and the meeting between Zarif and Kerry in New York, you know, I've just been holding on and enjoying the ride and trying to contribute as much as I can.
I know you've never actually been to Tehran, but you do appear on TV there, state TV, interestingly, or not. What is the view of the hardliners in Iran, the conservatives, of the work that you do? Do you have any idea?
I mean, it's tough to generalize, but pretty much for a certain segment of hardline conservatives in Iran, anyone who speaks Persian is either a hostage or a CIA spy. And since I'm too young to be a hostage, by definition, I must be a spy. So, you know, it's like an either or. And it's not like the fact that I can say a couple of Persian poems or expressions is going to sort of smooth the way for everything. I mean, I often put out positions and statements on Facebook and get a horde of responses saying, yeah, I like you a lot, Alan, but what you said, you know, and then they tell me what they don't like about U.S. policy. Mm. So it's not as if, you know, this I'm doing a charm offensive that's, you know, winning hearts and minds over to the U.S. position. I'm doing our best to, as part of a much larger effort by in the State Department, the White House, to get across accurately and without sort of any type of filtering our positions and policies. And one of the things I've been really pleasantly surprised about, and maybe I shouldn't have been, is how accurately and how professionally Iranian media, by and large, with a few notable exceptions, have covered what I say. I mean, there have been no real instances where, you know, what I say is spliced and taped, so I'm saying something horrible, or where people have intentionally twisted what I've said for their own purposes. By and large, what I say goes on the website or goes in the newspaper. So, yeah, it's been a real pleasure to get to know the sort of the Iranian journalists and reporters with whom I've been able to come in contact with, largely because everyone's hanging out at these, you know, when we have these nuclear negotiations.
Alan, I've got to say, you've got a pretty good sense of humor. Can you joke in Farsi and get a laugh?
Yeah, I like joking around. I have to be careful. One can't do it too much, but
right. Yeah,
I'm able to get a couple of laughs. You know, I don't know that, like, there's a vast distribution system of Persian jokes that go around every day that I've not been able to tap into yet. So that's my latest goal, is to tap into the latest jokes. I mean, it's tough. I've never been to Iran, as you said. The Persian language, like any language, is constantly changing.
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, you're based out of the U.S. Embassy in London, so how do you keep your Farsi kind of current and hip?
Well, it's tough. Like, every now and then I'll say an expression and someone will go, yeah, my grandfather used to say that.
Ouch.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to, you know, that one goes off to the side. I won't be using that again unless I'm addressing the Iranian AARP or something. So, yeah, I'm always looking for, but here's the fun thing. One of the many fun things, sometimes I'll come across an expression and I'll have no earthly idea what it means. So I'll just put it on my Facebook page. I have a public Facebook page. It's got, I think, 102,000 followers, and say, hey, what does this mean? And within 5 minutes, I have hundreds of answers. Of course, sometimes the next day, there's a story in the Iranian press saying, you know, Persian language spokesperson Alan Eyre has asked what this means, and then sort of weaving this incredibly bizarre analysis of why I asked this question, where the reality is I was just curious.
Alan Eyre is the State Department's Farsi-speaking spokesperson. I want to thank you very much, Alan. And in the spirit of Taarof, please have the last word. I insist. After you.
No, after you. Now, see, that's another thing. For Taarof, you always go back to the other person. This is why it takes two Iranians about half an hour to go through a door.
No, no, after you. You get the last word.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for interviewing me. And as I said, the State Department is trying to reach out and establish bonds with Iran. And this is what I do is just a small part of that. But goodness gracious, it's a lot of fun.
Wow. Wow. What a really engaging guy. This is the most engaging State Department employee I've ever heard. And Shirin Jafari from The World is here with us. Shirin, you are a native Farsi speaker. How did you find his Farsi?
Well, Patrick, it's interesting because the first time I heard Alan Eyre on TV, I remember it exactly. I didn't see him, but I just heard his Farsi. And I thought, okay, this is a second generation Iranian American who's lived in the US, has an accent, and is speaking Farsi. But then I saw him and I realized, no, he's not Iranian. He's actually an American speaking Farsi. And that was really interesting to me because I haven't seen a lot of Americans speak Farsi so fluently. It's interesting that he obviously has an American accent, but he uses sentences and words correctly. So if you look at the structure of the sentences that he uses, they're absolutely correct.
What really blew me away about hearing what he had to say is that he's never been to Iran.
Right.
And so what kind of Farsi is he learning? Where's he learned it?
He lived in Dubai for some time. And in Dubai, there are a lot of Iranians living in Dubai. So that's one source. He also lived in Los Angeles. There's a large community of Iranians living there too. And then he says he basically read, listened to TV, watched movies, and picked it up from there. A lot of sources out there that he just tried to listen to and engage and immerse himself into and then pick up Farsi.
Incredibly impressive. And he's got a great ton of phrase in English too. Iranosaurs, he said.
Right.
That was great. Yeah. I got to ask you that age old question. He said mainly Persian and Marco said Farsi. Well, tell us the difference and what each of them means to native speakers.
Obviously, there's a huge debate in the Iranian community as well. Do we use Iranian? We are Persians and we are Iranians and we speak Farsi. But there's always that question, you're right. I think when I hear Persian, I think of the long traditional civilization that Iran has. And it's actually, to be frank, they're interchangeable. You can use either Farsi or Persian. But Farsi is a more recent use of the word. I think that it was during the Shah that the word Iran was used more, and then
Iran was used more than Persia.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And then Farsi became the name for our language instead
right.
of Persian. But then, to be honest, they're interchangeable. I mean, if you say to me you speak Farsi or you speak Persian, I think they're both correct.
It's not like people are going to be offended if you say the one that they don't use. Is that
it
right?
Depends on who you talk to. Sometimes people are. I think that a lot of people who left Iran after the revolution and who are older generation, they prefer to be called Persians rather than Iranians. And they prefer to say we speak Persian instead of Farsi. Again, it goes back to the long civilization and all of that instead of the image that Iran has today, maybe. But the younger generation, I think, doesn't really think about that too much, I would say.
The Big Show's Shirin Jafari. We have more on Alan Eyre at our website. Also there, many more World in Words podcasts. They're at pri.org/language. There's also a World in Words page on Facebook, and not least, in fact, probably most, I'm on Twitter, tweeting all kinds of language stories and links and observations, most of them snark-free. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.